Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sponte greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to December 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, President Patrice Motsepe says the 33rd edition of the African Cup of Nations tournament scheduled for Cameroon will go on as planned. Some media reports had said the football showpiece would be postponed because of growing concerns of COVID-19 on the continent. The tournament features 24 teams and is scheduled to take place from January 9 to February 6, 2022. Sam Ahmadu is an African football analyst and he spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye about CAF's decision to go ahead with the tournament.
Yeah, I must commend the leadership of CAF, led by Patrice Motsepe, deciding to see these tournaments go ahead. I feel it's a great deal of bold step they've taken and a world of favor for African football, basically because we also fully understand the pressure and also the external forces are trying to influence the postponement or possible cancellation of this major competition for Africa. And for me, I feel it's a great decision they've made, and I think it's a commendable one. Going forward, I feel we have COVID-19 globally. It's a global health crisis, and Africa is not just a single out here suffering this health challenges alone. I think we have major countries across the world, especially in Europe, who are also a bigger casualty somehow in this whole situation. But realistically, we've seen also in their terrains that major competitions have gone ahead. We saw the National League going on even amidst pandemic, the Champions League, the major leagues across Europe also being played on a daily. We saw also the Euros also happen successfully. And at the same time, most recently, we saw the FIFA Arab Cup also just concluded in Doha. And I felt definitely we should hold ourselves in high esteem and also due the needful, especially understanding the fact that, well, we have high-profile individuals in football now. I think the FIFA, the CAF General Secretary, Varone, who has also been in charge of football in Africa and also in Caribbean for FIFA, he understands very well, and he's been in Cameroon for a couple of days to also ensure that the necessary things in terms of organization, in terms of health protocols are already in place. And understanding the investments the Cameroon government has also put in place over the years, especially after several postponements, I think it's definitely going to be counterproductive at this point to consider another postponement or a possible cancellation. So I think it's a great deal and also a word of favor for ourselves as Africans to ensure these competitions go, this major competition, which is a flagship of African football, go ahead as scheduled.
Patrice Motsepe, the president of the Confederation of African Football, or CAF, also called on Africans to believe in their abilities to achieve goals. What do you make out of this?
Yeah, well, I feel it's a great call by Motsepe, calling on Africans to believe more in their own abilities. I think surely we definitely should look at this very deeply because, one, this is a continent that has suffered so much problems, and these problems are all emanating from our own poor leadership. And, you know, leadership is a reflection of the people that is being led. And I think this is where I think a person like Motsepe, who is now presiding over CAF, should and will and has already shown great leadership, especially with the decision to see these tournaments going ahead as scheduled. So I think it's a great deal. The decision they make definitely go a long way to reign and also to make African people. So I think this is where, if you want to be believed, if you want to be respected, I think this is one of many things to do, a leadership taking responsibility and also leading by good example.
The Desert Foxes of Algeria are the defending champions of AFCON and just won the FIFA Arab Cup. Do you think they are the team to beat in Cameroon?
Yeah, well, I think it's exciting to see what the Desert Foxes have achieved for themselves in the last 2-3 years. And, you know, since 2019 that we had the AFCON, I think it's incredible to see the progress they've enjoyed, and also seeing how some of their top stars are doing across the world for their various clubs. And I think it's also heartwarming to also see the historic feats they did made, really winning the FIFA Arab Cup. And I think it's fantastic achievement, if you ask me. And again, reflecting the fact that yes, homegrown tournaments, homegrown players has managed to get much visibility with this new championship, and same time also managed to also unearth a lot of new stars that we'll look forward to seeing possibly at the Cup of Nations, and same time if they do qualify also for the World Cup that is in Qatar next year. So I feel it's a great deal of a breakthrough for the team, and I think definitely that's surely put them in a very, very strong position to ensure they definitely have everything in them, both from the home front and also from the foreign scene, to challenge again for the continental glory, to challenge again for golden leather glory, and also retain the title they won the last time. So I think it's the last time in Egypt, and I think this one happening right now in Cameroon, surely they remain a team to beat, not just because they are defending champions, but again just because they've also shown great strengths both on the home scene and also at the international level.
There's African football analyst Sam Ahmadu, and he spoke with reporter Mike Bonya on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria. English football of Ghanaian descent Aiden Ketia netted a hat-trick, while Ivorian forward Nicolas Pepe and Charlie Patino added a goal each to help Arsenal book a place in the Carabao Cup semi-finals with a 5-1 win against Sunderland at the Emirates. A number of key Arsenal players were missing from the fixture after testing positive for COVID-19, including Belgium footballer of Congolese descent Albert Sambilokonga, Pablo Mari and Callum Chambers. Here's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta's thoughts on the win.
Yeah, it was great. We're in the semi-final. That was all about today. We had some phases in the first half. We started okay, scored 2 goals, then started not to respect our basics well enough, and we had a period where we suffered. We picked the level up in the second half, and we won. We were very efficient in the final third, and especially in front of goal. That was it.
Bell's Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta's post-match interview after his team secured an emphatic victory over Ligue 1 side Sunderland in the Carabao Cup. The Black Cats were relegated from English top-flight football in 2017. Here's their manager Lee Johnson on his team's performance.
Just after we scored, I think we grew in confidence. I thought our quality in terms of like the receiving skills and the passing and moving was on show, and I thought Arsenal found it quite difficult to get us off the ball in and around that final third. Early on in the game, I thought we maybe threw the ball in the box a little bit too early, and it was a really good goal and a really well worked goal. And overall, I have to say I'm very proud of the players. I mean, we've been beat 5-1, but at the same time, we have had spells in that football match. But look, the bigger picture for us is that it's a great learning experience, you know, for our players. And we said in there that now they know the standard. And a lot of young players, even the senior players, can really take that away. You know, when you feel the quality of an opposition, of a Premier League opposition, you learn so much more than me being able to demand standards in a passing drill, for example. First of all, they learn that they have to be at their maximum. You know, the mind is such a key part of the game, you know, so to demand those standards every day. And I feel that they'll also have a bit of confidence from that game. I think that we did have spells, you know. There was times where we broke well. I thought Alex Pritchard was, his receiving skills were top draw, you know. We did carry a threat. Of course, so did Arsenal. And they were fantastic in the way they moved the ball and they cut us through the lines at times. But there's a lot that we can take positives. And the other thing is a big shout out to our support, because that was absolutely phenomenal tonight.
Then Sunderland's manager Lee Johnson speaking with the media after his side's defeat at the hands of Arsenal. The Gunners will discover their opponents in today's draw, with Tottenham also scheduled to face West Ham at home in the other quarter-final match.
VOA's Our Voices television programme is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them,
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with our voices on VOA.
Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In one of the Olympic highlights of 2021, American Jordan Charles won silver in Tokyo in the women's gymnastics team event. And in the days that followed her medal-winning performance, Charles said her second-place finish felt as good as winning gold. VOA's Gwen Oten has details.
The U.S. women's gymnastics team won silver at this year's Tokyo Games without their star athlete, Simone Biles. Biles abruptly dropped out of the women's team final after she struggled through her opening vault and stumbled on the landing. She later said she withdrew due to mental health concerns and feeling lost in the air. Biles' surprise exit sent shockwaves around the world, but none were more stunned than 20-year-old Jordan Chiles, who had to fill in for the four-time gold medalist on the balance beam and uneven bars. And as Chiles recalls to Reuters News, she thought her coach was joking when she was told to step in with only seconds to prepare.
So after Simone's vault, my coach had told me that I need to put my grips on, and I was just like, no, she's being sarcastic, like, there's no way. And she was just like, no, like, you need to put your grips on. And I was like, okay. So I was putting my grips on, and I was hoping deep down that she would be able to do the rest of the competition, but fortunately she wasn't able to. So I knew at that point, I was like, okay, Jordan, this is your time. You need to show, like, why you're here and help the team out. Because at that point, it was all for the team. Like, no matter what was going to happen, it was a team moment because there was only three of us. So we all just did what we did. Suni gave us a little pep talk and was like, guys, we got this. Like, just go for it. And we just went through with every single last piece that we had in us and gave it all.
And Chiles, along with Sunisa Lee and Grace McCallum, delivered a silver medal performance, finishing behind the Russian Olympic Committee in the team event. From the sidelines, Simone Biles shifted her role from competitor to mentor and cheerleading fan. And Jordan Chiles spoke of the importance of feeling supported by her idol, a champion in both gymnastics and on the issue of mental health.
I'm so proud of her because there's not a lot of people who can speak up about it. And she did that on a big stage. Like, she did that. And I was so proud of her because as gymnasts, mental health is something that is very, very needed. Because if we don't know where we're going, we can get injured. Something could happen to us. We can be out for the rest of our career. Like, it's really hard not to understand what mental health is. And that's the worst part of being behind the scenes. If you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, then you don't know what's actually going on.
Simone Biles has not yet said whether she will compete at the upcoming Paris Games, but Jordan Chiles says if her body and mind hold up, she will definitely consider representing Team USA in 2024. And she reiterated what she told Biles on the medal stand.
I had looked at Simone and I said, this is the last time you'll ever see silver around our necks as gymnasts. And she started laughing, and it's because it's true. Like, yes, we won silver. We didn't just get silver, we won silver. But when I was thinking of that, it was more so of us saying that we're all so dedicated and so strong, and that people should realize how much we've gone through to understand that we still are silver medalists. And these are gold in our eyes. Like, no matter what even happened, those are still the gold in our eyes.
Biles and Chiles teamed up again as part of the Gold Over America Tour, an event that featured an all-star team of champion gymnasts. For 2 months, the athletes traveled to dozens of cities across the United States. They closed out the tour in Boston, Massachusetts last November. And that is all from me. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nessa, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Staying with the 2021 sports highlights, Africa's fastest man, Ferdinand Omanyala, clocked 9.77 seconds to break the African record in 100 meters during the Kipkeino Classics World Continental Tour back on September 18th in Nairobi. I caught up with the 25-year-old after his record-shattering foray in an exclusive interview, and he opened up to me about his daily routine and plans.
Ferdinand Omanyala, the African record holder in 100 meters and the eighth fastest man ever in 100 meters.
Take us through your daily routine.
So it depends when which part of the season you are in. Like when the season ended, like 2 months, basically 2 months ago, I was resting for like a month before now we begin the new season, which I began 3 weeks ago. So right now, wake up, go to the gym, go back to train on the track. After track, come home, take some lunch, go back for training in the evening, come, sleep, repeat the same Monday to Saturday, doing that continuously. 8 to 9 hours of sleep every night is enough for me. And then steal some nap during the day, like an hour or two before the training sessions in the evening.
You competed in the Kipkeino Classics, actually. That's where you broke the record. And the event took place in the Moi International Sports Center, Kasarani, in Nairobi, Kenya. Trayvon Bromwell won the 100-meter race in that particular event, the world lead time of 9.76 seconds. You came in second at 9.77. In fact, it was so close, you know, some people really couldn't determine who won that event, you know, it was so close. And Justin Gatlin, you know, came in third during that event at 10.03 seconds. You know, take us through the series of events before, during the event, and even after the event.
So the Kipkeino Classic was really hyped. It was a race between me and Gatlin because so many people know Gatlin in Kenya and so many people know Manyala. Nobody was talking about Bromwell. So people were hyping between me and Gatlin. I remember even at the press conference, there was so much hype until you can feel like this is going to be big. Yeah. So it was a really very good planned event. And getting into the stadium, it was around 6 and the lights were up. And I see people, there are so many people in the field. And then I'm looking at people and nobody's sitting down. Everybody is standing. And the commentator is there like, this is the moment that all have been waiting for.
Wow.
So even at the call room, the guys who write the names before the athletes entered the field were just in a hurry because they all wanted to get in. So they were writing our names so hurriedly so that they just leave us and go in and watch. So it was it was a really great and weighted event. And it was live again on TV. So you can imagine how big that was. And the fans, okay, there were a bit of fans in the field. But yeah, looking at people and seeing how people are waiting for such an event, it was really motivating. Yeah, after that, running the African record, everybody's talking about. I remember I got out of the field and everybody was waiting just to see me. Who is this guy?
You surprised the whole nation, honestly. And, you know, people couldn't believe it that a Kenyan known for, you know, long distance running, a Kenyan could run 100 meters at 9.77 seconds.
It was big.
I'm pretty sure you also get such reactions like people are still, you know, in doubt, really, you know, if how could this guy do
it? How is it happening? Yeah. Those people are still doubting, but there are those who believed. They were not believing at first, but now they believe because I've done it consistently and repeatedly. Mm. So there are still those who are still waiting. That there are those who are saying, let's wait for next year and see what will this guy do. But yeah, it's nature. Because coming from Kenya and you've never been in the scene for the last 5 years, you're just coming like you've erupted. Consistency for next season again will be good.
Absolutely incredible stuff. And, you know, we saw a beautiful video of you after that particular event, you know, embracing the Kenyan president Uhuru Kenyatta after the race. What did he tell you?
It was a congratulations message, just congratulating me of what I've done. And he was so excited. And seeing him there was really humbling and, again, motivating. Because if the president can set aside his busy schedule to come and watch you run, is something big.
Of course, confirms your legendary status, because the presidents don't just, you know, stop whatever they were doing to just come and watch you.
Plus,
you are also recently feted during one of the Kenyan celebrations, known as Mashujaa Day. What did you receive?
It's an honorary, like, something to be recognized as a hero in Kenya. You are heroes. We were around 200 guys selected, but sports, we were selected around 6 or 7 guys. Those were given that heroic label, the country.
Wow, congratulations. You, of course, you're a world hero, not just Kenyan or African hero. You're a world hero since you're the eighth fastest man. So what are your future plans, though?
Yeah, so going forward, looking forward to the next season. We have the World Indoor Games coming in March, starting in February with some series of events. And then after that, we get to the outdoor season. I'm looking forward to the championships, the Africa, Commonwealth, and the World, but not forgetting the Diamond League Series and the World Continental Tour. So it's a busy season. I'm looking forward to breaking records, to move and travel the world and see different cultures again, and just enjoy and have fun and let people enjoy what you're doing. Like I always say, this is an art, and if you have to put a masterclass, a masterpiece that people will appreciate. Fun is the ultimate thing, but again, record breaking is another thing.
As you have fun at it and as you plan for your future and stuff like that, there are several challenges that you go through. Now, what are some of these challenges that you face, especially being in a highly acclaimed position that you find yourself in?
Yeah, like right now, it's hard to choose the genuine and the not genuine people because so many people are coming in, and you can never know how to select who is the genuine or not genuine guy. So that's the biggest challenge. But I pray for wisdom from God so that he can help me guide. He can guide me through this journey. Of course, I have people I've worked with since I started. Those are the real loyal guys. So, but, you know, going forward, you'll meet different corporates, different people. So I pray that this people, God helps me to select the genuine ones and not the genuine ones. This season, I'm glad that I never got any serious injury. The ones I go to took like a week or 2 sessions of physiotherapy, and they're so I've not experienced any injuries this season. So I'm looking forward to the same season next year, just doing the good pre-season conditioning and strength and conditioning so that it can carry me through the whole of next season.
You talked about corporates. Are you receiving support? How are corporates responding to, you know, your success?
Yeah, they're coming in. Soon we'll announce. And they're coming in. So, you know, they can't just come and then you announce, because there are discussions going on. You have to give your terms. They give their terms. So, yeah, there are discussions. There are a couple of discussions ongoing.
I like the sound of that, because normally a lot of athletes that I talk to, they always, you know, complain that they're not being funded and stuff. But it's a good thing that, you know, at least corporates are coming to support one of their own talents and stuff like that, which is a good thing. Your family, you have a child, you have a wife. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's another support system that I'm proud of. Yeah. They're really supportive, and they're a reason that I keep going out there and just working hard to ensure that they have a good life and they have a soft life.
How old is your child, and would you want your child to, you know, become an athlete and even better athlete than you are?
Well, of course, it will be my pride and joy to see him run. Yeah. But of course, I'll support him in whatever he wants to do. I can't force him to compete, come and be an athlete, and he doesn't have the passion to do that. So, but I pray that he becomes an athlete.
Beautiful. That would be quite something. Yeah. What do you do during your free time?
I'm a person who watches movies a lot. So, I watch movies a lot when I'm free, and sleep.
What's your some of your favorite movies?
So long as the movie has a storyline from the beginning to the end, that's a movie I'll watch.
Yeah. How about soccer? Which team do you support in Kenya, in the English Premier League?
I'm not a football fan, sadly.
Wow, incredible. To the young athlete, you know, thinking of running 100 meters or basically competing in different athletic events, and they're listening to you right now, what would you like to tell them?
I can tell them never give up. Life has a way of throwing us up and down, beating us. We get to the ground, you think you'll never get up. But one thing I've learned is that you should never give up in life. If you have a dream to be not even just an athlete, if you have a dream to be whatever you want to be in life, continue chasing that dream. Never drop that dream. Keep that dream alive. And one day you'll realize that this dream is becoming a reality. So never give up in life.
Never give up in life. Yeah. Beautiful message. And of course, you're one of those people actually never gave up on their dreams. And right now, yeah, you're reaping the fruits, man. Keep on doing what you're doing. You're making Kenya proud. You're making Africa proud. And very soon, the world is going to see the real Ferdinand Omanyala as you break Usain Bolt's record. 9.58 seconds. You're going to take it down to
9.5, whatever. 9.49. Anything.
Oh, man. We are so proud of you and keep on doing what you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's Kenyan sprinter Ferdinand Omanyala, Africa's fastest man, and he earlier spoke with me from Nairobi, Kenya.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The sports world is seeing a surge in COVID-19 cases and cancellations, especially in the United States. The National Hockey League, the National Football League, and university sports all have had to change their schedules. Mike Gracia with the Associated Press has more.
With outbreaks of the Omicron coronavirus variant already disrupting its regular season, NHL officials have decided to pull out of the Beijing Olympics, a source tells the Associated Press. 50 NHL games have been postponed so far this season. Two NFL games were pushed to Tuesday night due to COVID-19 issues. In college football, the status of the Sun Bowl, scheduled for December 31st, is uncertain. The Miami Hurricanes are scheduled to play Washington State, but Miami's football program has entered COVID-19 protocols. In college basketball, Georgetown and Boston College will both forfeit games scheduled Wednesday night due to COVID-19 concerns. I'm Mike Gracia.
International tennis is also getting a hit. 2010 Grand Slam champion Rafael Nadal announced that he had tested positive for COVID-19 after returning to Spain from an exhibition match in Abu Dhabi. The 35-year-old posted the news on his Twitter page saying, and I quote, "I'm experiencing some unpleasant moments, but I hope that I will improve little by little. I'm now confined at home and have informed those people who have been in contact with me of the result. As a result of the situation, I have to complete flexibility with my calendar and will be analyzing my options depending on my progress. I will keep you informed of any decision about my future tournaments." End of quote. The former number one played only 21 matches, missing most of the second half of the 2021 season due to a leg injury, but had slowly been making a comeback. Several tennis stars have also previously contracted the coronavirus, including Novak Djokovic, second-ranked Daniil Medvedev, and Carlos Alcaraz. Others who've tested positive include Aryna Sabalenka, Bianca Andreescu, and American teenage sensation Coco Gauff. And that wraps up the December 22nd edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Nadia Taha, and thank you for tuning in. Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.